How can nutrition help you optimize your fertility journey, whether you've been trying for a while and haven't had your happy ending yet, or thinking about starting? Nutrition can really, really transform your journey. And today I'm speaking with Raquel. She's a nutritional therapist. We studied in the same school, not in London. She was in Manchester. And she really gives us practical tips on how you can optimize your fertility journey, no matter where you are in that journey. It's so important. There's so much that can be done. And we touch up also on how, with the conventional medicine, and here in the UK at least, and in France as well, to be honest with you, it's very much like, oh, you're trying, it's not happening. Okay, let's move to IVF, where there's a hole in between that is unexplored. And Raquel says how much she's seen that with her own journey, but also with her clients. So stay tuned to, yeah, get inspired and get those tips, and see how she or any other nutritional therapist that specialize in fertility can support your journey. All right, let's have it. All right, guys, let's do this. So today we are speaking to Raquel. Can I say Raquel or Raquel?
Raquel. Oh, I like the way you say Raquel, though. Either
I'm
way.
French. So she is a fellow nutritionist. We actually studied in the same school. I'm going to ask you about it in a minute. And she basically supports men and women on how they can use nutrition to optimize their fertility. She works with couples, single women, really to optimize their fertility, whether that's through diet, lifestyle, and help them get pregnant and have a healthy baby. Raquel, welcome to the podcast. How are you? And thank you for making it happen.
Oh, I'm very well. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me on your podcast and talking about this such an important topic because it affects more people than we realize. Like infertility is one of those taboo subjects still, which it shouldn't be. So thank you for giving us this platform to talk about it.
Yeah, of course. I actually have quite a few friends who had a tough journey to their baby. So I'm grateful that I didn't this first time round. But yeah, I know a lot of people that really struggled with their journey and also got help and felt better and eventually got their babies. So I know this is such an important topic because I think that we don't realize how much nutrition and supplements can help us in that journey.
Yeah, definitely. And also the mental health aspect of it, it's not spoken about. I think it's now one in six couples are having fertility issues, and more than likely you will know someone and they're not talking about it. And if you're trying for months and months or years, that mental toll, and you're not speaking to anyone but your partner, it's hard, And our medical system, unfortunately, doesn't look at it from that perspective as well. So, yeah. It's really difficult for anyone who's going through it.
No, I can definitely imagine that. I actually wanted to have my best friend on the episode at some point. We haven't had time, but yeah, it took them a little while to have their baby, and the mental side of things was really hard for her, especially when around her all her friends, myself included, were having babies basically. And she was like, nobody talks about this, but it's really hard. But anyway, back to us. You studied a CNM
I did.
like I did. Were you a CNM in London?
No, so I studied at CNM in Manchester, and I think you said you. So I had my son. So I was heavily pregnant in my final year, 2019. I was pregnant to 2020. I graduated.
Same year as me.
Same
Crazy.
year as you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was hard work being pregnant, doing my portfolio when he was born, and like being sick, and then like sleepless nights, you know what it's like, and having to do the assignments and so
Oh
on.
God, props to you. I still remember. Like it's so much work. It's hard work. Studying nutrition is like a hard work. You have to be committed and really like do it for the love because you have to work your ass off. But I'm
This
glad
is
we
what my
did.
clients to know, like it is hard work. You're not just like talking about, oh, these vegetables are good. You know, it's the biochemistry, it's
Yeah.
science behind it. It's, yeah, 3 years of degree level learning.
Yeah. I mean, we never really talk about these vegetables. Like when I, before I started, before I actually started studying there, I was like, I'm going to study nutrition. I can't wait to learn about all the different foods. And I really thought in my head, it was going to be like, this tomato has this, 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 which is what is good. But it's really, it's not like that. You do that very briefly, but it really is pathology, like disease. Like it's really, you'll learn. And I'm so grateful for it because we have knowledge that we can support our communities, our families, our friends with, and it's that, I think it's priceless.
Exactly. And do you know what as well? It's not just like the clients that you serve. It's like that, like you said, it's their friends. It's, it like passes on to generations. You teach them something that they, that knowledge they then share with their family, their children, and so on, you know. So hopefully what we're doing goes beyond the clients that we're serving.
Yeah. Amen. So I guess my first question to you is, what brought you to specialize in nutrition for fertility?
Well, really, I think it was my own sort of fertility journey. So when I started studying nutrition, I've always been very interested in nutrition. My mum and dad, so my mum's from the Philippines and my dad's from Colombia. And with that background, it's always like food is medicine. I've always grown up with that, you know, and being surrounded by, you know, family dinners, like food is just everything to me, my, you know, my lifestyle. So I've always been interested in that side of things. And that's why I studied it. And then, of course, during my studies, I was trying for a baby. You know, I got married and thought, okay, we're married now. We can, let's start trying for a baby. Come off the pill. But yeah, it's going to happen. And it didn't, of course. And then I had a miscarriage and so on. And I just realized through my own fertility journey, like how common it is to have a miscarriage, to struggle with your fertility, and then knowing that there is so much in your diet, with your lifestyle, that you can do to optimize your chances that the conventional medical system doesn't touch upon. You know, unfortunately, it isn't personalized. It's a very cookie cutter approach in that sense that if you're struggling with fertility, say you're over 35, then it's okay, you have to go see your GP within 6 months of trying for a baby. They'll do some standard tests, check your progesterone levels, check your ovulating, check, you know, your reproductive system, your tubes and so on. And then if that all looks okay, it's like, okay, well, it's sort of unexplained. We'll go down the IVF route. And that's fine. Like, IVF is amazing, 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 amazing. But there is so much in between that we can be doing. And this is why I don't subscribe to the unexplained infertility, which is quite, I've got a number of clients that see me for that. And I just think it's unexplored. You know, we're individuals. Our every single system in our body is linked, and having a baby is not just about your reproductive system. It's a whole body event. So what else is happening in your gut microbiome, your vagina microbiome, inflammation, stress levels, lifestyle, what you're eating, all of that has an impact. And that's when you see a nutritional therapist, that's what we look into. It's literally like detective work, as you know. You're looking through like a full blood panel. You're looking through everything. What is off here? What could it be?
Yeah. You're so right. And again, it's bringing that knowledge to our communities and reminding them that your body is an ecosystem. Nothing is separate. Everything is linked. And when you're challenged somewhere, don't just fixate on that one spot. Look at yourself as a whole environment and what is out of balance. And really, that's what it is. It's such an important important thing to remember. Who are your clients then? Do you work with people that come and see you because they're desperate, they've been trying, or people tend to come and see you because they're like, do you know what, let me work on prevention? And
it's a mix. I mean, I do have a few clients that come to me who have, say, had miscarriages in the past, or just like, okay, you know, I just want to make sure me and my partner are 100% optimal health before we try for a baby, which is great. And if clients are that organized, then fantastic. You know, let's get you to the absolute, you know, best health you can possibly be. But many clients come to me sort of as a last resort, unfortunately, just kind of like thinking, I just don't understand. I've been to my GP, I've seen these clinicians, they're saying there's nothing wrong with me, then why can't I get pregnant? They just can't understand why they can't get pregnant. Mm. Or they've got PCOS or endometriosis and they've been told that will affect their chances. But there's things you can do with diet and lifestyle that can optimize that.
Mm.
And also with fertility, which isn't spoken about enough in the NHS, unfortunately, or with, you know, clinics, is that 50% of fertility issues are male factor related. So
mm.
the women hold this burden, like it's their fault, this emotional and physical and mental burden of getting the negative tests every single month and so on, and clinicians aren't really looking at them, and when in fact it could be a sperm issue or whatever, yeah. or sperm DNA fragmentation issues or whatever it may be, you know, it's not looked yeah. into. So yeah, it's various factors.
Of course.
So yeah.
Yeah. From your clinical perspective, how can nutrition transform the journey? So your client come and see you in desperate, you know, they're like, I've tried, I've got a couple of miscarriages. They're like, how would nutrition actually help me? Like, they can't see it. From your mm-hmm. clinical experience and personal experience, obviously, how powerful can a targeted nutrition and tailored protocol can be?
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, it's transformational, really, because, you know, for example, many women come to see me who've been on the pill, and now the pill depletes your body of vital nutrients like B vitamins and so on. And these are the nutrients that you need for a healthy pregnancy.
Mm.
Also, many of the clients that come to see me are in their mid to late 30s, as many women nowadays are having children older, which is fantastic. We're prioritizing our careers or finding the right partner or whatever, you know, we're just having children later on in life. And we've sort of been scared into that, oh my gosh, once you hit 35, your chances are slim. Like, yes, of course, as we get older, our chances of having a baby are slimmer. Well, as with anything, you know, our health declines as we get yeah. older. It doesn't mean that you can't optimize your chances of having a baby through optimizing your egg health, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's how nutrition can help. You know, you're having the right food. So, you know, antioxidants and, you know, zinc is really important for, and omega-3 is really important for egg health, and zinc is important for sperm health. You know, there's all these things that you can be consuming that reaches your body on that cellular level mm-hmm. that will improve egg and sperm health.
Mm.
You know, and there's so many nutrients that are missing in our bodies nowadays because, for example, the food that we're eating, because the way things are farmed in comparison to how they were years ago, we don't have that much nutrients in our food anymore.
Yeah.
Many of our foods are sprayed with pesticides and so we're exposed to more toxins in our body. And we know certain toxins and plastics, for example, there's scientific studies that support this, that they're endocrine disruptors. So they disrupt your hormones.
Mm.
So we know all of this. And these are things that we can work on to change. That will just make you healthier.
Yeah.
But of course, we're then optimizing your health for your chances of a successful pregnancy.
Yeah, yeah. Which makes sense, obviously.
Yeah.
It makes sense. And I think, yeah, it makes sense. And I think you said it really well. Like, you're given those examples because I know that I've had friends that are, let's say we don't have the same lifestyle, and they are often, or they were skeptical. I remember saying, you need to see a nutritionist, babe, you know, like go see a nutritionist, let them have a look, let them run some functional tests, because that's another thing a GP is not going to run, because yeah, it's expensive and that's not the route NHS goes, but it's an investment when you run those functional tests to see where your hormones are, what nutrients you're missing. A nutritional therapist can then say, okay, you're missing this, like you say, which is key to, I don't know, oxidative stress or sperm health, like zinc and like all of these things. Now, for someone listening now, and maybe that's where they are in their journey, they have tried, it's not happening yet. What would be three things perhaps that, or like three tips or maybe more that you would tell them, you would give them, like start here. What do you think they should be doing right now?
I would say, first and foremost, this sort of season of waiting, like, I'll get to the nutrition and lifestyle part, but I do want to really focus on the mental aspect of it, especially now in the run up to Christmas. Like, this time of year can often bring up feelings of like sadness or isolation or fear, the fact that, you know, you thought you'd be pregnant by Christmas, you thought you'd have a baby in your arms by Christmas, or it's around this time where you have more family gatherings and people are like asking those questions, oh, well, you know, when are you having a baby? People set the pregnancy announcements for Christmas. This time can be really difficult. So the one thing I'd want to sort of say to anyone who is struggling to have a baby right now is, in this season of waiting, like waiting to fall pregnant, I think it's just to what you can do to stay in that possibility of yes, you know, that yes, I can still get pregnant when things are triggering you. So like what I've just said, all these other things that are triggering you, like really work on your mental health. Firstly, know that your feelings are valid, your emotions are valid. If you see someone with a pregnancy announcement and it makes you sad, or someone invites you to a baby shower and you're just like, I can't face it, you know, they're all normal feelings, first and foremost. So validate those feelings, and also set boundaries for this time of year. Perhaps, you know, be open to some friends that you don't want to do X, Y, Z for whatever reason, or speak with your partner about having a sort of something in place. If someone needs to ask you a question when you're trying for a baby, okay, what's our answer going to be, you know, so you don't feel shocked, you know. So definitely work on those things, because that can be really triggering. The second thing is the Mediterranean diet is the one diet, when we're talking about nutrition here, that's being studied to really support and optimize fertility health alongside cardiovascular health and so on. It's the one diet that we know can optimize our health and longevity. And it's because it's abundant in nutrient-dense foods. So there's lots of vegetables, lots of fruit, good fiber, good antioxidants, healthy fats. But you just think about what people in the Med are eating. So it is good quality protein like fish, healthy fats, your avocados, your lashings of olive oil, you know, all like really different colored variety of food on your plate. Think about eating that way, because you're going to be naturally getting all those antioxidants, everything that's going to be supporting you on your fertility journey. And also you'll be eliminating a lot of the processed and ultra processed foods, which can cause inflammation in your body and, you know, various issues, which isn't going to be helpful for fertility. So really look at doing that. Following a Mediterranean diet, looking at your health, your mental health. And then lastly, it would be really, if you're on this journey now, just know that there is more that you can do. And if you've seen your GP, your doctor, clinicians, and you still feel that there are areas to explore, that's because there is. Like, it's not just black and white. And unfortunately, our medical system just doesn't have the capacity or the funds to look at people's journey on a case-by-case basis. No, like you said before about functional tests, that we run like complete blood work and hormone tests that looks at things in so much detail, and that we then work through. So I would say see a nutritional therapist, get a second opinion, because unexplained infertility, or if you're having issues, there's always a reason as to why you're unable to be pregnant.
These are such great tips. So number one, look after your mental health by setting boundaries and being prepared for those conversations and do what feels right for you. Number two, you said the Mediterranean diet. I want to add quickly to that, not the current Mediterranean diet, because my boyfriend is Italian and I know what the current Mediterranean diet looks like. It's not the best, but we're talking about the healthy, the older Mediterranean diet that was richer in, you know, because the current Mediterranean diet, it's a lot of pasta. I think I go in those countries a lot, especially Italy. It's a lot of pasta. It's not as healthy at all as the Mediterranean diet we're talking about, that their ancestors, their grandparents used to have, was so healthy, like the one you're talking about. Antioxidant rich, beautiful olive oil, fish, that's the one we're talking about, not like the pasta and pizza every day, obviously. No.
And like visualize it, like your plate, really, when we're talking about the Mediterranean diet, half of your plate should be vegetables, like in a variety of color, because the different colors represent the different nutrients and polyphenols and everything. So a variety of vegetables on half of your plate, and then a quarter will be good quality protein, you know, so good quality fish or meat, and then you're looking at your carbs, you know. And obviously nowadays carbs can be like the whole, and carbs aren't bad,
but it's the proportion.
And it's about also the Mediterranean diet, it's also about a lot of people like sit in front of the TV and just watch, you know, watch the
something it's the enjoyment of it,
enjoying their food or enjoying each other's company. That's so important as well. So I think of course. Get back to, I don't know, start having friends over for dinner and stuff, you know, doing all of that stuff.
Eating with joy, absolutely. And then the last one, get some support if you can. Get a second opinion. Don't take no, that's it, for an answer. If you don't want to do the IVF straight away, speak with one of us. By one of us, I'm talking, not me, because I don't specialize in fertility, but I'm talking about Raquel or a nutritional therapist that is specialized in fertility, that have testimonials, that know what they're doing, so they can support you, they can run some tests and understand. And I think everybody listening know by now, if unless you're new here, one of my core saying, my core beliefs, that what I base my life and my work on, is that to heal, you got to understand what's happening, you got to understand the root cause of your issue. And I think same goes for fertility. To get on the journey, to understand, to move forward, you got to understand, okay, what's happening here, so you can reach your desired outcome, basically.
Yeah.
Would you think, Raquel, would this advice, well, I guess not really, not the first one at least, but for someone that want to now work on prevention, like I know before I got pregnant, I knew I wanted to become pregnant, so I did a few things, but you are the expert. What would someone that want to, okay, I want to get pregnant in 6 months, we're going to start trying, what should I start doing and thinking about now?
Okay, so I would be prioritizing, and I'd be eliminating first and foremost, looking at the toxins that you're exposed to, because I'm talking like plastics and the things that are in your skincare products and your household products, because we know that things that we breathe in or that we put in our skin, that's all absorbed. And you want to remove toxins from your body. You don't want to expose so much of toxins to your body, because that can affect fertility and be what I say, endocrine disruptor. So can affect your sex hormones, and your hormones, they don't work in isolation. So if there's any sort of imbalance with anything like your sex hormones or cortisol, your stress levels, you're going to have issues there. So first and foremost, let's look at your toxic environment. Let's see what you can reduce. So that's things like not drinking from plastic cups or putting plastic in your dishwasher or heating things in plastics, you know, just simple things like that. Receipts, they've got BPA on them, you know, you don't need to get your receipts from the supermarket anymore. Just, I always say no, you know, things like that. Look at your gut health. And look at your vaginal health. Both of those are really important for fertility. So I do some functional testing. With your gut health, of course, you know, you can take some probiotics, look at prebiotic foods, like, you know, leeks, onions, oats are really good for feeding the good bacteria in your gut, and then get a good probiotic to help build the commensal bacteria in your gut, you know, because your hormones are metabolized in your gut, and your gut's 70% of immune system's in your gut. So you need a healthy immune system for pregnancy. So look at gut health, vaginal microbiome health. That's something that you would need a test for, and I'll talk about that later. But that's something that's coming up in research now, that the health of your vaginal microbiome can impact your success rates of IVF and your chances of miscarriage. And pregnancy. So that's something to look into. And the other thing is, you know, prioritizing sleep. Like, we don't, I think we get into the habit of looking at our phones at night, you know, or sitting scrolling through. That blue light from our phone affects our melatonin levels, our sleep hormone. So if we're exposing ourselves to that blue light, we're not having that really restful sleep. It's difficult for us to fall asleep. Melatonin, we know, has an impact on ovarian reserve and ovarian function, so our egg health. So that's going to be impacting that. So definitely look at sleep. There's so much things we could be doing.
Yeah.
Just reducing your exposure to processed foods, which isn't going to be for your health or for your fertility.
Yeah. Really good tips. Really, really good ones. I think the first one, they're all very important, but I feel like the first one is one that we either forget or don't realize how important it is to reduce your exposure to endocrine disruptors, so BPA, like in plastic, like you say, the receipts, because these things are kind of easy to do, really. Like your bottle of water, like you can get rid of plastic, really. Like today in 2023, I think it's fairly doable. But that's one that I think people would tend to underestimate or forget. So yeah, that's one that I'm like, get on with that. And the diet, again, very important. Actually, last week on my podcast, I had a Karen Saunders. She's a women's health specialist, nutritionist and nutritional therapist, naturopath she is really. And we talked about, she really specializes in vagina microbiome, and we talked about it briefly. We touched up on that, on how it's linked to fertility as well. So I invite you to listen to that episode as well. But again, when you work, I guess, with someone like Raquel, she will cover all of that and make sure, you know, you run the test if the tests need to be run. And gut health as well. I mean, I talk about gut health every day on this podcast. So I feel like they know the drill. I think you know the drill with gut health. But I guess it's an important one as well to mention, right?
Oh my gosh, it's so important. And you know, it is kind of getting in the mainstream now. We know we're talking about it a bit more now, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But it takes around 17 years or so for research to get into, you know, to actually, for our doctors to be like, okay, this is what you need to be doing. So, you know, we've been talking about gut health for years, years and years, and now it's coming to fruition. Like, oh, okay, yeah, we need to be focusing on this. Because it is, you know, if you've got dysbiosis, if you've got an issue in your gut, like, you have to be excreting those toxins from your body. If you're not, and also if you're like, those hormones are being recirculated into your body, that's not going to be good for your fertility.
Yeah, of course not. Yeah.
And your hormones as well, your gut health and your hormones are linked so much. So it's one of the most important things I work on. Gut health and vagina microbiome were the two things I think many couples or individuals aren't really aware of the impact. Once we run those tests, it is such an eye opener. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, kind of see now where I need to improve.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Incredible. I'm so grateful for these studies and this knowledge, these things that we have nowadays, and we can, again, I'm repeating what I said at the beginning, support our communities, support more men and women to have their happy ending, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's great that we've got these platforms now, these podcasts and everything, that we can talk about these things, you know, and
help
each other. So we just hope, you know, just even just one person listening to this right now, we've helped them, you know.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Well, thank you so much, Raquel, for these lovely tips. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions that I like to ask my guests before I close up the episode. What is one thing that you've learned about your health or like your wellness, your well-being, your life that you were taking for granted? So something you're taking for granted that you're now like, okay, I get this now.
Do you know what? Like, I've got... You can have like 101 problems. There's always like a problem in your life when you're stressed. But the minute you have a health problem, you have one problem. Do you know? And I've been in those situations before. Once my health is gone, it's like, wow. Like, I took it for granted. Like, everything else does not matter. It's, you know, that phrase that we hear a lot, health is wealth, but 100% it is. And you can take it for granted. I run a very busy clinic. I also am very grateful. I have two small children. Being a mum is crazy. You know, I'm very grateful.
Madness.
I'm grateful for it. And I'm grateful to have my clients to get to this journey.
Yeah.
But it's hard work. And you're running a business. You've got a family. I used to naturally, like, I was like bottom of the priority list. But now it's like, I will always 100% every day before I look at my phone, my laptop, it's my ritual is my hot water, my lemon, my ginger, my turmeric. I have that. And I do some form of exercise, even if it's just 20 minutes, half an hour. And I get outside, especially now that it's getting a bit darker. If I don't get outside in the morning, I won't.
Yeah.
It's just those little things. It really helps your health. Like vitamin D is so important for fertility, especially as well. But like now that it's coming to winter, we need to be getting outside and getting our vitamin D.
God, you're so right with those little things that we could be doing that we don't, especially when you become a mom. And it's so I'm in the thick of it. My daughter is 14 months and there are weeks where I'm like, what have I done for myself this week compared to before when I used to do so much? I had that luxury of time. Now I'm like, wow, this is so precious, this time. Let me use it mindfully.
Don't you know what? Before children, it's like, I had all the time in the world. Like, what was I doing?
What was I doing for real?
I know. I mean, it is amazing, children. And, you know, I really hope any of your listeners struggling, please get in touch because I hope I can help you because it's an amazing journey.
Yeah.
You know, it is. But it is like, you're in the trenches when they're so young, aren't you? Mine are 4 and 2. Like, you are in the trenches.
Chick of it, yeah.
That's the only way to put it.
I think you already answered this. I was going to say, what are one or two things that you do regularly that make you feel good in your body, in your mind, and your soul?
Yeah, so it would be the hot water and lemon thing. I always do it. I've always done. I just feel like that just really helps me. It's good for your liver and it's just amazing. So I always do that. What other things do I do now? It's eating seasonally. Food in season now. You're looking at like your, what's in season? Like butternut squash, leeks. Watercress, things like that. Like if you can eat foods that are in season, they're more nutrient dense. More benefits from it. You're also going to be helping the environment. You know, you're reducing your carbon footprint there by getting things that aren't in season. So that's really helpful because you're actually benefiting your health more than you realize doing that, you know, And the other thing that I've done now, I got into the bad habit when I wasn't very well a few weeks ago of taking my phone to bed. And so, like, I've gone back now to, okay, do you know what? I am not, once it hits 9 o'clock, my phone's on do not disturb and it's upstairs.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, because otherwise you just get to that scrolling and.
You get into, 100%. It can become quickly addictive before you even know your phone is controlling you, not the other way around.
So it's just those little things. It doesn't have to be massive changes, but those things I think really.
I agree.
Really do help.
Well, thank you so much for today. I really appreciate you. Thank you for coming on. And for anybody listening, Raquel also has an offer in November.
Yes. Yeah.
You go. See, you forgot. I remembered.
Yeah.
If you need the support. Yeah, for sure.
Thank you for inviting me. Yeah, for November. I'm actually, because like we were saying before, it's that time of year where people are either like, I either want to give up trying or I need to do something about it and start 2024 in the right foot. And so my offer in November, just for November, is I'm actually offering some clients a free vaginal microbiome test when they book in for the 3-month program. So as I said, this test that is so important, it's worth, I think it's around £200, I think. So it's just thrown in because that's the one thing everybody needs, hands down. Let's look at that, see if there's any, what your lactobacillus is like, because that needs to be abundant. If there's any pathogens, any infections, any bacteria that could be affecting your chances of pregnancy, we address that, get it all, get the right supplements and so on, and that really helps. So that's something that, for any new clients that sign on with me in November, or if they want to sign in November or start in December, we can,
do that.
And thank you for reminding me.
Of course. Well, thank you for being here. Raquel's details are going to be in the show notes. She's on Instagram, her website. You're going to get everything. Thank you so much for listening. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review so we can bring this kind of amazing, inspiring, educative content to the rest of the world. Love you so much. And I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you, Raquel.
See you. Bye.
Bye.